today. We've been finding some great stories in the book of Joshua as we've working our way through that Old Testament book of the Bible. Just think about some of the things that have been recorded in it. God stopping the flow of the Jordan River when it's in flood, and the children of Israel walking through on the bare riverbed. The story of Jericho and the capture of that city by the whole army of Israel marching around the city in a circle, just in silence, just once a day for 6 days, and then on the seventh day, going around the city 7 times in silence in one day, and then a great shout, a great trumpet blast, and God just crumbled the walls of that city. Amazing, amazing story. Amazing story of God's grace as the rescue of Rahab the prostitute took place in her family because she believed in the Lord God as she came to learn about Him. And God's grace just extended out to her, not only just to save her in that capture of the city of Jericho, but she actually became an ancestor in the line of the human family of Jesus Christ. Oh, great grace from our Lord and Savior. Well, today there's another great story. A hero of the faith. Man by the name of Caleb. Now, there are a number of things that we could highlight from the life of Caleb. We could preach a whole sermon just on his positive attitude. When he encountered huge obstacles, they were never bigger than his God. And he could trust God through it. He kept his focus on God's greatness. And that's faith. His focus on God's greatness. And the outcome was a man of steady faith. We could spend a whole sermon on Caleb being willing to be a minority for God. He wasn't a man who waited to see what way the wind was blowing, what the majority was going to say. In fact, he never wavered in what he knew to be true. Even when his whole nation decided on a wrong direction. And some of you face that in your family connections, or in your place of work, or the community you live in. We could spend a sermon on his courage as a warrior. He had fought the battles faithfully before they crossed the Jordan River, and then Jericho and Ai. So he had responded to the call both in victory and in defeat. And now he was asking to take on another battle to the glory of God. He's a courageous warrior. We could definitely talk about his example for seniors, for enduring for God, for keeping up with the times, being ready to take on new battles when he was 85 years old. If we'd done this topic, I could have told some of my seniors' stories. Well, I'll just work one in. Like the one about the couple that had been married 50 years. And one evening, she was getting all misty-eyed over the past, reminiscing. And she said, "Things have really changed. You used to sit very close to me." "Well, I can remedy that," he said. Moved right next to her on the couch. "And you used to hold me tight." "How's that?" he said when he gave her a big hug. "Do you remember how you used to nuzzle my neck and nibble on my earlobes?" He jumped to his feet and left the room. "Where are you going?" "I'll be right back. I have to get my teeth." Great stories. Well, these would all be valid lessons from the life of Caleb. Being positive in faith, standing up for God when you're in the minority, being courageous for God, endure strongly to the end. Now remember, the New Testament says that the Old Testament is written for our example. That's the basis on which we do this study in Joshua. In fact, 1 Corinthians 10 specifically refers to the experiences that Caleb and the rest of the children of Israel went through in getting to the promised land. Just listen to it again. I read it early in the start of this series. Paul is writing to the Corinthians, says, "For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers, that our forefathers were all under the cloud and that they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from that spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them, and their bodies were scattered over the desert. Now these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. So we can find spiritual truth for our lives in these Old Testament accounts. Now I believe that all those were all good topics. I believe that there's a more fundamental truth to be drawn from Caleb's life than that list that I gave you. A fundamental truth that challenges every one of us, no matter our age today. It's going to be our primary focus. Three times in this brief passage of God's Word, in Joshua 14, it says, he followed the Lord wholeheartedly. Wholeheartedly. That's the example for us that we want to grapple with this morning. And let me ask you, early in this sermon time, will you today invite the Holy Spirit to apply this right into your own life? Can you take that risk before God today? Is your heart prepared through the worship that we've experienced even this morning or through whatever you know of God and what you've experienced this week? Is your heart ready to make changes to your life today? Can you take that risk? It's a very human tendency to listen to the message like this and think, boy, I sure hope so-and-so is paying attention to this. So a number of times this week in preparing for this, I have actually prayed that the Holy Spirit will jam your brain waves if your mind sneaks over to thinking about someone else. Is that a legitimate prayer? I prayed it for you. I put it into God's hands. If you listen to the inner promptings by the Holy Spirit about you, friends, he'll take care of the inner voice to those other people. He is God, after all. What do we see in Caleb? First of all, we see that Caleb was wholehearted for God when he was commissioned as a spy. The story of this is recorded in Numbers 13. And I invite you, if you have a Bible there and available to you, I invite you to turn to Numbers 13. It has some fascinating details. And I think it will help us in drawing this truth from the Scripture. Numbers 13. When he was commissioned as a spy, the commission from the Lord was to explore the land, to bring back information about the promised land. None of them had ever seen it. Remember, there had been 400 years as slaves for the children of Israel in Egypt. And now they were going to a land that had been promised over 400 years before to Abraham. And they were following through on that promise, but they had never been there. They had never seen it. Notice this, friends. They were not asked to assess whether or not Israel should invade the land. And so often, when God commissions us, and he gives us a mission to move ahead with, we start assessing whether or not we should do the mission, instead of, by faith, moving ahead with the mission. Their mission to explore the land was given to them. The command to take the promised land, to move into it, had already been given by God. They were not to go back on that. Moses chose 12 men, one from each land. If you look at verse 3 of Numbers 13, see what it says about these men that were chosen, one from each tribe. It says there they were all leaders of the Israelites. Caleb, you'll find his name in verse 6. Verse 8 lists Hosea, but go on to verse 16, Moses renames him Joshua, and that's what the name we've known him by through all of these studies. Now, friends, let me call you back just to what I said just a moment ago. What were these 12 in relationship to their people? They were leaders. They were all leaders. And they were to go and explore the land. Are you a leader? Are you a leader in Markham Missionary Church? Some of you hold defined positions of leadership presently. Some of you are developing as leaders, and maybe you should be a leader. Some of you don't hold a specific office or a specific position, but you're a leader because of your age, in our desire to honor our elders. Some of you are an age, you're a leader simply because you've been around Markham Missionary Church for a long time. And you influence people. I know that when people visit the church, they know they're going to get the party line from the pastor. You know, I can remember so well back in my early years in Calgary. You know, it was a church plant and we were growing, but I remember the first Sunday a new family came. They've since become good personal friends and are still good personal friends to today, but I saw him talking to one of the youth leaders. He knew he'd get the party line from me, but he wanted to find out what the church was really like. So he picked out an unsuspecting person. Looked like they knew what they were doing, where they were going around the building, and he talked to them. And maybe somebody will pick you out someday and just say, oh, no, you know, what's really going on around here? And you'll influence people. Virtually all of us are influencers. Will you, as a leader, as an influencer, pay particular attention right now? This is a lesson for all of us, but particularly in how we lead and how we influence. These 12 spies were all leaders. And they spent 40 days exploring the inheritance of their people, of the children of Israel, this promised land. They brought back samples of grapes and figs and pomegranates, stuff that they hadn't seen for over 40 years. Sorry, this is only a couple years after they left Egypt. But it was an exploration that showed them the riches of this promised land that they could go into. 10 of them were not looking at this new land through faith in God eyes. And they gave a negative report. They said things like, this land will swallow us up. The enemy is full of giants. There are huge problems out there. We'll fall by the sword. Our wives and children will be taken as plunder. Chapter 14, verse 3 in Numbers. Why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to fall by the sword? Two of the explorers viewed what they saw from a faith relationship with God, Caleb and Joshua. Caleb was the spokesman for the minority report. In chapter 13 of Numbers, verse 30, it says, then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. Chapter 14, verses 7 to 9, his report continued. The land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into this land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord. And do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will swallow them up. Their protection is gone. But the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them. How opposite the contrast between viewing the land with faith eyes and viewing the land from a self point of view. That negative lack of faith report so influenced the people that they rebelled against Moses and Joshua and Caleb. They even talked about stoning them. And finally, because of the shattering impact of their lack of faith, God removed those 10 who gave the bad report through a plague. Only 2 out of 12 leaders saw the future through faith vision. I wonder what our ratio is among all of you who influence others. Among our leaders, Markham Missionary Church. Friends, answer this to yourself. Do the giants get bigger as you talk? Or do they get smaller? Are the troubles out there going to swallow us up, or are we going to swallow them up? That was the contrast between the two reports. Do you see the fruit of God touching lives in our congregation, or do you only see the thorns of imperfections in others? Do you give thanks for the possibilities of where we will be in the future by faith in God, or do you just shake your head over the difficulties in our path? Leaders, We are responsible before God to have faith vision like Caleb. Influencers, we are accountable before God to be building people up towards a wholehearted trust in God. God has a plan for Marka Missionary Church. We have a future to bring great praise to His name. Over these next months, we're going to go through a process of vision building, of vision discernment, of getting input from every one of you about our vision for the future. Our goal through that is to prayerfully discern God's plan for us, for Marka Missionary Church. And every one of you will be influencers through the steps of dialogue in which we will engage. Are you ready? Are you spiritually prepared? Has your journey of following the Lord Jesus Christ, of worship week after week, of reading the Bible, of having input from other Christians, has it built your heart up? Are you maturing in the faith to where you can see the future by faith? The outcomes in Caleb's life compel us toward a God-sized view of the future. To be able to see it, we need to surrender our lives to God, to soak ourselves in the mind of Christ through reading His book, and to allow the Holy Spirit to purge our non-faith view of the future as we up our prayer life. Our next view of Caleb, following the Lord wholeheartedly, is that he followed the Lord wholeheartedly when others messed up. I think this is probably the most powerful part of my study of Caleb's life. How do you respond when the church takes a direction that you don't like personally? When someone volunteers and then backs out or just never gets around to following through? What's your response when someone is in your face and upset with you? Have you ever mulled through what Caleb went through? Between the time he gave his faith report and the time that comes in our scripture text today, when he would finally come to the time when he would step up and say, okay, give me my mountain to conquer. Other people's lack of faith sentenced Caleb to 40 years of spinning his wheels. He had tasted the grapes and figs and pomegranates in his future home. What did he get? 40 years of manna and nothing else. Ah. Think of the houses and furnishings he and his clan could have built over 40 years on his mountain area. What did he get? Tents and dust storms and moving from place to place for 40 years. Wouldn't it have been only natural for Caleb to go to Moses and say, look, you may be willing to put up with this lack of faith and this murmuring and eating dust of other people's lack of faith, but I'm out of here. We can find our own valley. We can find our own stream of pure water. We'll start a new community of faith. Besides, they almost stoned me one time, Moses. But we know that Caleb not only hung in there, but he followed the Lord wholeheartedly. Even when others had messed up. He stayed as a contributing, supportive member of the community. With his heart set on God, he developed an ability to filter out the distractions. Do you know what spam is? Now, some of you are in the cassette age, and I'm going to even have to get rid of my 8-track by the look of it. So, for those who don't yet know what spam is, it's unsolicited emails on your computer. You sign up for one thing on the internet, and that company sells your email address to someone else, and this repeats over and over and over. It's a self-feeding frenzy. Could you guess how many spam emails are sent each day? It would be interesting to see what your estimate would be. Someone figured out that in 2006, who figured this out? I don't know. Someone did. Figured out that in 2006, each day, there were 183 billion spam each day. 183 billion unsolicited email messages sent out. They also claimed that in the U.S. in 2006, employees, legitimate employees, spent 22.9 million hours just deleting spam. They were collecting company salaries to do that. You know, we had volumes of spam coming into the computers that we use here at the church. It was annoying. It was irritating. Over time, you had to search through hundreds of garbage emails so you didn't miss important messages. And then suddenly, our internet provider installed a spam filter. What a difference! The distraction and the irritation was all gone. Well, you know what? Caleb had a spiritual spam filter. And you need one too. It's installed when you wholly surrender to the Lord. And then the negative attitudes, the sniping, the doubting by others slide off you like you're coated with spiritual Teflon. Wholehearted for the Lord. Do you remember the story at the end of the Gospel of John? You think about that. Jesus' last interaction, according to the record in John. He's just reinstalled Peter to be a spiritual shepherd and to feed the Lord's sheep. And he said it three times over, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. You remember that. Jesus also informed him at that time that he would die a martyr's death. So what does Peter do in the midst of receiving this information? He starts poking his nose into other people's business. He did. You remember? He spotted John close by, kind of following them. And he said to Jesus, what about him? Guess what Jesus said? None of your business. Mind your own business. Exactly. And he said, you must follow me. Even if I want John to never die, in contrast to your martyrdom, what's that to you? You follow me. And friends, this goes right along with Jesus saying, if you're going to be a Christ follower, you must take up your cross daily. You take up your cross daily. Even when we come to Jesus, he puts us in a community of faith, a family of God, to be a helpful part of it, to struggle through the wilderness part of our journey to the Lord's promised land experiences. Being a non-participant or a negative participant is not the Lord's plan for any of us. In my searching for meaningful material to give you today, I came across a little article that gets at this truth from a different perspective. It's kind of like a modern parable. It makes a point, but it is satire. It's humor with an edge. Friends, this is fiction, but let me tell you, read it to you. Julie and Bob Clark were stunned to receive a letter from their church in July asking them to participate in the life of the church or worship elsewhere. They basically called us freeloaders, says Julie. We were freeloaders, says Bob. In a trend that may signal rough times for Wallflower Christians, leading megachurch faith community of the Greater Toronto Area has asked non-participating members to stop attending. No more Mr. Nice Church, says the executive pastor, newly hired from Rogers Wireless. Bigger is not always better. Providing free services indefinitely to complacent Christians is not our mission. Freeloading Christians were straining the church's nursery and facility resources and harming the church's ability to reach the lost, says the pastor. When your bottom line is saving souls, you get impatient with people who interfere with that goal. Faith Community sent polite but firm letters to families who attend church services and freebie events but never volunteer, never tithe, and do not belong to a small group or other ministry. The church estimates that of its 8,000 regular attendees, only half have volunteered in the past 3 years, and a third have never given to the church. Before now, we made people feel comfortable and welcome and tried to coax them to give a little something in return, says a staff member. That's changed. We're done being the community nanny. Surprisingly, the move to disinvite people has drawn a positive response from men in the community who like the idea of an in-your-face church. I thought, a church that doesn't allow wussies, that rocks, said Bob Clark, who admires the church more since they told him to get lost. There's a point in there somewhere. Our passage in Joshua 14 shows that Caleb was wholehearted to the end. He had patiently served in whatever circumstances the community of faith found itself in. He had never lost sight of the promise made to him by the Lord God. And that's pretty amazing just by itself. How long do you keep a vision bright and keen? 10 years? That's miraculous in our day. 20 years? To stay on target with a vision? 30 years without it being fulfilled? It had been 45 years for Caleb. And now he has just come through years of intense warfare with the whole Israeli army. Shouldn't he be able to rest? Shouldn't he be able to say to Joshua, I've served others faithfully and helped them conquer their territory of Israel. Now how about the whole Israeli army capturing Hebron for me while I join you in the general's tent? Caleb's shining vision for 45 years has been this new mountain that Hebron is on. And Caleb's gift from God in his life is unusual physical strength for an 85-year-old. There are problems with this new mountain. It's still held by the enemy. The enemy has giants among them. But at 85, Caleb is willing to move into new territory. By faith in God's promise, he'll move to conquer whatever the mountain holds. He is definitely not looking for anyone else to substitute for him. And he comes to Joshua, and he says, now give me this hill. Set me free, commission me to take my clan and conquer this mountain. When was the last time that you said to the Lord, you've been faithful to me, Lord. You've granted me a level of mental ability, a level of physical ability. It's not like Caleb's, but it is what it is. It's your unique gifts into my life. Now give me this hill. I see an opportunity to serve you, Lord. Give me this mission. As a whole church, seeing a growing community coming to our doorstep, will we say, give us this neighborhood? For some of our seniors, you may have used up all your strength just getting here today. You know what? You're a blessing to us by conquering that hill. You know, some of the greatest help you can be for the Lord's mission is giving an encouraging word to one of our Sunday school teachers, one of our junior church workers, an elder, a musician, a techie. Let them know when they are taking on a new mountain, you're proud of them. And for some of you who are not able to be here and you'll be watching this on videotape, your prayer, your gratitude for those who are serving Jesus is huge in helping us conquer this mountain. Now, most of us are younger than 85. Most of us have amazing choices available to us in our lives about where we will go, what we will do, and how we will invest our time and energy. Friends, the fundamental question, the starting point as we look into the future, are you wholehearted for Jesus? Whether you're a leader, whether you're an influencer, will you look into life and into the future with faith vision? Will you stay wholehearted in the community of faith even when others' bad choices make us less than what we could be? Will you stay wholehearted to the end so that others will be inspired by your full surrender to Jesus? Many of you will know the name Hudson Taylor. He was the founder of the China Inland Mission. He went to China when it was a completely foreign culture to the Europeans. A closed environment. But Hudson Taylor went in and pioneered first to teach that you needed to live with the people, share their life together, and share Jesus together. He continued his mission even though he was greatly criticized in the church community back in Europe and North America. One day a man attempting to find out the difficulties of missionary work asked Hudson Taylor, what is the hardest mission in the world? Without any hesitation whatsoever, Hudson Taylor replied, the hardest mission in the world is submission to God. Will you join me in prayer? Lord Jesus, thank you for Caleb. Thank you that his life message is that he was serving the Lord wholeheartedly. And Lord, we recognize within our own lives that the hardest mission is to stay in submission to you. But your calling is nothing less than that. Your calling on each of our lives is to be in full surrender, wholly surrendered to you. Thank you for the great examples the Word of God has in the Word of God. Thank you for the great examples that we've all met in our lives. Some of those examples are here today. Lord, we need to renew our submission to you. As we look into the future, and we see a mountain still occupied by the enemy that wants to hold us back from winning hundreds and thousands to Jesus Christ right in our own community. Lord Jesus, we want to respond to you with faith vision. As you've placed us here 20 years ago, you led the people of this church to relocate right on this property. Lord, you knew that there would be houses built to our doorstep. You knew where those people would come from to fill those houses. And God, sometimes in spite of us, you've been laying the groundwork that we would have that mission in our future. We don't know all the hows and wherefores. It looks overwhelming often. But Lord, you have brought this community of faith together, made up of these very people. You have here within us the very ingredients where we can say, Lord, give us this mission. And by faith, we will move out into the community. We'll connect with the community. Lord, we will see people come to know Jesus Christ. Thank you for the partnership with Praiseland Congregation, right here within our own building, within our own people. And thank you that that is an incredible equipping for the majority of the community that's close to us. Father, we realize that it starts in my heart. It starts in each individual, Lord. Fundamentally, we need to surrender ourselves to you, commit ourselves to serve you wholeheartedly. Lord, may this resonate within us, not only until we leave the sanctuary, but, oh God, in some way, hook this into our minds this week and in the coming days, that today, by faith, we are saying, Lord, give Markham Missionary Church this mountain. That here today, by faith, individuals are saying, Lord, give me this hill. And within the community of faith, we will build together. May it be so. In Jesus' name, amen.